Khan and Stick Season, one of the biggest songs of 2024. 12:16 now. Let us talk futurism with Morris Misalowski, our business futurist. Morris, good afternoon to you.
Happy Tuesday to you and to everyone else.
Thanks a lot. Well, I think, you know, we always talk on this segment, don't we, about all kinds of different subjects, many of them concerning tech, many of them recently concerning AI. One of the ones that's popped up in my visuals in the last week or so is this AI death clock, which has pretty much apparently become an online sensation. Now, apparently, and you can fill us in a bit on the details, but it basically tells me how long I'm going to live. And I should say, I haven't done it because I was thinking about, do I want to know when I'm going to die or not? And I guess the thing that we are finding about AI is that sometimes AI can be remarkably true to life. So I don't know whether I want to look or not. What do you make of the AI death clock, Morris?
With a pinch of salt is where we start.
Okay.
So that pretty much encapsulates everything. But having said that, it is a lot of fun, and I actually think it is useful and purposeful for some of the perverse reasons that we'll talk about. So no, no one's going to, I know, because all of our listeners are eminently sensible. No one's going to look at this and say that is the day, the moment that's going to happen, because that's what this thing tells you. And tongue in cheek, it's actually not trying to predict at all the day and to be correct about it. In fact, I think nothing would horrify them more. It is, in many ways, I think, the opposite. It's a wake-up call. Because this app, which is called The Death Clock, which came into your letterbox a couple of weeks ago, has taken 9 years to become an overnight success.
Wow.
It's been around forever. Do you know what they did in the last couple of months that made it really sexy and get 65.5 million people doing the projections? They stuck those two initials at the end or at the beginning. All they did was say AI, and really this nine-year-old app that's just been sitting there bubbling along, all of a sudden it's just taken off.
Right. It's amazing what those two initials can do.
It absolutely is.
Incredible,
isn't
it? I think
you and I maybe should put A and I before or after our names and see. Maybe we can do something even more extraordinary than what we already do.
Yeah, I think we should, actually. You know, it can make such a difference. Obviously, I mean, you know, in the financial markets, it's just nuts at the moment. So,
yeah,
it is, again, just the letters AI. Anyway, back to the death clock.
So this is called The Death Clock. You can download it for free on Apple or Google. And if you don't have either of those, you can actually do it online as well. So it's death and then with a stroke, clock.org. So death space clock.org. What it does is it asks you a series of questions that I think are actually eminently sensible questions. They're things your doctor might ask, or if you were game enough, you might ask about yourself, in order to figure out whether you are the healthiest version of yourself, whether there are things you could still do that might help you to tinker and might give you some quality of life extensions. Starts off with the basics, so it takes you through all of these. It says that it's based on, I not believe, I just can't tell you it's true. It says it's based on hundreds of research papers which it uses. That's where the AI came into this thing. The difference between what it was 6 months ago and what it is now, before it was based on algorithms, which is just simply a mathematical formula that the people that made this app put together based on you answering a series of questions. It then went into probabilities. What it's done in the last couple of months, it said, that's great, and that's what saw us through the last 9 years, but what we're going to do now is go out and attach this to a whole lot of research papers, a whole lot of other people's findings and thoughts. When people give us these answers, what does it tell us about their longevity? And that's the different secret sauce it now has. So it'll ask you about when you were born, what gender you are, whether you smoke, your BMI, which is your weight. It'll ask you generally whether you're a happy or sad person, about your alcohol, about the country you live in, your exercise, whether you smoke, your diet, good sleep, checkups, whether you know, how you manage stress, your social connections, and your lifelong learning. So through those series of questions, yes or no, perhaps more of a bit of an answer depending on what it wants, it then comes up with a date, when it says that you will no longer be with us.
Yeah,
can I tell you what mine is? Because we need to be quick. I mean,
all right, go on then. If you're up for it, I haven't been brave enough to look at that.
I
yet.
am. I am. So it tells me that I am going to be around for 8,528 more days.
Okay. Well, what's that? That's
23 years.
About another 23, 24 years. Oh, is that?
Some people will be sad. Some people will celebrate. I can't tell you which is which. But 23 years is what it says. And then it goes on to tell you things. And this is, I mean, I'm sharing it. I'm happy to share this. Mm. Yeah, but it goes on to tell you that 73% of my life is already done for. That makes me feel a bit more.
Wow.
It tells me that there are 279 full moons left in my life.
Goodness. Okay.
And then the last piece of information it willingly shares is that it tells me there are 1,196 weekends left in my life with which to enjoy it.
Goodness, that really does bring it home, doesn't it?
It does. Then says, you can have 5 more years on us, but to have 5 more years on us, you've got to do these things, exercise a bit more, eat a bit less, do all the things that kind of that argument that, you know, that we have over a Saturday night, do I want quality or quantity, and you joke about which you want. But that's where it comes to, and it says I can extend it by 5. Again, the app is purposeful if you use it in what I think, my opinion, the right way, which is, let me understand, let me not worry about these days and years because I think they're a bit of a fluff and a bit of an interesting sideline. But it's purposeful to, again, get the message that perhaps there are things I can be responsible for that might just make me healthier. Forget the days and the rest of it. They just might make me a bit healthier.
Well, I guess it certainly has the capability to offer up those suggestions, which are always welcome. But whether we take them into account is another question, isn't it? I mean, our doctors can tell us those different things, and you know, some of us, possibly me included, maybe don't really act on those things, even if we know we should. So it's as limited. But I suppose, Maurice, the question is, beyond the date that it's telling you at the moment, now we're hearing so much about AI. The question is AI in some other way going to be able to figure out how to extend our lives? In which case, perhaps the death clock doesn't have as much impact. You know, is AI going to advance the cause of medical science to such a point where I can add another 30 years to my life, perhaps?
Yes, yes, and yes. No, that's absolutely it. So this death clock is exactly that. It's based on history. It's not based on the future. Mm. And what we believe and what I am hoping for, and I'm just most of us are hoping for, is that those incredible scientists, researchers and boffins will come up with the most wonderful ways to extend life. We're already seeing that we can thankfully tame some forms of cancer. Tuberculosis, polio is gone. Malaria is basically off the record. I know it's still flaring, but we've really got it under control. There are lots that ravaged society and took us out much earlier that now, thankfully, we can either treat really well or they've just gone to the annals of history. So, yes, I absolutely believe that whether, you know, my death clock shifts or not, artificial intelligence has already made a huge difference in health, wellness. It brought about the end of COVID, I think, 5 years earlier than it might have otherwise have done because we were able to use artificial intelligence, even though it was early days, long before most of us could use it. Scientists and boffins were using it at that stage. And we already hear that with cancer specifically, there are lots of treatments, lots of genomes. I read a really interesting article, only interesting for me, nobody else, this morning, which talked about, you know, we can do our genome sequencing now. And there are 2,500 basic genomes in our bodies, and everyone's is very different in the way that it comes together.
Ooh,
have we looked? Is each one of those genomes is going to now be looked at using artificial intelligence to understand specifically just that one piece. So we will have the most incredible library over the next 10 years of what each of our little genome strands means. So lots of things are still ahead for us, thankfully.
Mm, yeah. You know, I guess it comes back a little bit full circle to what we were saying earlier on, that we've suddenly labelled everything AI, and a lot of this stuff was going on before. But perhaps the positive about AI is it suddenly focused everybody on it, and you know, perhaps putting it under that AI badge makes things move faster. Do you think, Maurice?
It might do, and as you said, it's definitely a focusing mechanism. I'm spending a lot of my time now in corporate and on stage convincing people AI is not as important as they think it is. And that's not because it's not doing great things, but because we have just gone too far on what we think it's capable of. This thing, to many people, seems to be the genie in the bottle that's able to grant us three wishes. And it's just not and isn't. It is causing a lot of havoc. It's causing a lot of wonderfulness too. But let's put it into sensibility. It is exactly a piece of technology, like a computer, like the internet, like social media, like our mobile phones. They certainly changed the landscape in every way possible. They did things that we didn't think were possible, but we're still humans afterwards. There are still things that we do, have always done, and will always do, regardless of those techs and toys.
So do you think this is just a phase that we're going through, Morris, with AI at the moment, and it will be like you know, other things that have come and gone in a year or so? It will just simmer down a bit and be back to normality?
Yeah, it's gas and electricity. And my example for that is that both of those were just extraordinary inventions 120 years ago. People were very excited. From the pulpit, they were literally saying it was the devil's work, don't use it. And now we don't think about it. We just expect it to be there and we do things because it is. Artificial intelligence, like our PCs, like our mobile phones, we just accept it's there and we do things because they are. AI is going down that road and we'll get there very, very quickly. It is there. We know it is. We no longer have to necessarily pray at its feet. We just ask it to do things for us and with us so that we can get where we need to be a little bit quicker, faster, or better than we did before.
Always a good reality check from Mr. Misilowski on some of the things that are out there at the moment. Morris, you know, always interesting, always insightful. Thank you for your input into the AI death clock and what it means to us. And have a good week. And we will speak to you on The Brew this time next week.
Look forward to when I will have 8,521 days left.
Boom, boom. Thank you,
have a great week, everyone.
Cheers. I could have my Gucci on.